you've downloaded the Buckeye Leafcast, featuring two guys who have absolutely no idea what they're trying to say.
If he has a good offense, he has a good...
So... All right, let me think here what I was going to say. I don't know what the hell you want to call him over the
what I say?
I was going to say something, and I don't know.
I don't know what it is you're saying, but I like it.
And now, here are your hosts for the Buckeye Leafcast, Andy Evans, and the intergalactic Buckeye fan himself, Mr. Chris Stefanik.
All right, you ready? You ready to talk about some Florida Atlantic, sir?
I am. Let's do it.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first preview of the 2019 season opener against the Florida Atlantic Owls. And, of course, my man rocking the other side of the microphone, Mr. Chris Stefanik, the intergalactic Buckeye fan. We going to break it down, baby. Season number 6, Chris. Here we are. Woo! Are you fired up? Are you fired up for Florida Atlantic?
I'm fired up for football. I don't know about Florida Atlantic specifically, but I'm fired up for football.
You're selling the Owls short, man. Come on. Dude, let's face it. Okay, it's Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic. Who the hell is Florida Atlantic? Well, Florida Atlantic, coached by, yes, the Lane Kiffin now. Third season there in Boca Raton as head coach of the Owls. Chris, what do we see out of this game? Is it a close game? Is it a good game? Is it only because they're, you know, as we talked about in the preseason preview, at least I really was big on the intangibles going into this upcoming football season. I've got my doubts. I kind of see a rocky start. I see a rocky football game, and only because of those intangibles, not because I think Florida Atlantic is all that good. In fact, it sounds like, I mean, they went 5-7 last year, and they're trying to, like, replace some starters, some veterans. They've got a quarterback, three-way quarterback battle going on down there. I don't know if it was anything like the supposed three-way quarterback battle that we had going on up here before Ryan Day named Justin Fields as a starter. But I just think that because of the intangibles, we're going to see a little bit rocky of a football game. I mean, I think the Buckeyes get it done, but what do you see out of this season opener coming up on Saturday? The Buckeyes have any troubles on their hands, or is it smooth sailing and they're going to kick some ass like they always do?
Yeah, I think they're going to run them out of town on a rail. It's not going to really tell us much of anything because they're going to dominate, and what does that even mean? You know, it's like if the Owls are a 3-9 team, yeah, of course they could dominate and be not even, you know, remotely close to what we want the Buckeyes to be this year. So I am glad that we're starting the year off with a game like this. I think it is good to get the kinks worked out, especially when you're in a team like Ohio State that's playing with a talent advantage the whole season long. I mean, they're not going to be playing a team that has as much talent as them until, you know, after the Big Ten title game. So when you have a talent advantage, the only thing that can cause the other team to win is, you know, you're messing up. And the earlier in the year, the more there's the chance of that. There's the greater the chance of the team with less talent coming out, being more prepared, making less mistakes, that sort of thing. So I like that they put the cupcake right up front to give Ohio State a chance to work through some of the kinks, to see what this product's going to look like on the field, so the coaches could then make some evaluation. You know, it's one thing to do it in practice, but what's it going to look like on the field? So I'm glad that it'll be up front, but I don't really know that it's going to tell us a whole lot. It'll tell us things like depth chart. It'll tell us things like, you know, what's the defense going to look like, you know, now with that they're using a bullet position, you know, now that they're doing more zone, now that they're not being as complex as they were. You know, that's one of the things we've heard over and over, is that defense isn't going to be as complex. It's going to be a more simple defense, which again plays to the hands of having a faster, more athletic, more talented team. You know, there's actually I was listening to Josh Perry's podcast, and he was saying Luke Fickell, you know, who was his linebackers coach at the time, he had this saying that he would say, "Let the fuckers fuck." and what it was.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine?
Hello.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but he's like, yeah. That,
I like it. I like it.
He's like, let the fuckers fuck. And what he was saying is like, let the athletes be athletes, you know, just turn them loose.
Right.
Don't let them have them thinking out there, have them reacting. And that's what this defense is going to be like this year. So it'll give us a taste for what does that look like. You know, we hear him talking about it, but what does that actually look like? So that's the things we're going to learn. But otherwise, I don't think we're going to learn much. I think, you know, this is not going to be a game. I think you're going to see a lot of the backups. One of those where like a lot of, you know, they've got this rule that they started last year where you can play in four games and still redshirt. I think there's going to be a lot of guys that redshirt this year that play next Saturday.
We're going to get like four game experience. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You can play in four games and still redshirt.
But
I think that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think basically if you're cleared to play Saturday, you're playing if you're an Ohio State player.
Yeah.
So you're only not going to play if you're like held out for injury reasons. So it's going to be that kind of game.
I certainly hope you're right. And it would not surprise me if Ohio State obviously blows the doors off of Florida Atlantic. I think it's going to look rough. We're going to look rough to begin offensively. They're going to find their footing. I think the defense is going to look, once again, like I said in the last podcast, the defense is actually going to be Ohio State's saving grace in a lot of games this upcoming season, especially with the defensive staff changes, their philosophy, the fact that they're returning so many guys, and their defensive line is just insanely deep. The one question mark, I think, right now is the linebacker spot. But otherwise, yeah, this new bullet defense, the bullet position, Brendan White getting out there just roaming around, just looking to just tear somebody's head off. I think it's going to be all great things for the defense, but the offense is going to look a little bit stiff, rocky, because of the inexperience, or I shouldn't say necessarily inexperience, but inexperience with Justin Fields being in a whole new setting. Granted, he's now been here in Columbus for coming up on, you know, what, 8 months. But still, it's probably taken him a little bit of acclimation, you know, from being down there in Georgia, nice weather. He kind of had to acclimate himself to crappy, crummy Ohio winter. Yeah, just all that kind of stuff. I don't know. We'll see. I think that things are just going to look a little bit rough at first. They'll gain their footing throughout the game, and they're going to produce some results, and they're going to do just enough to win. But I wouldn't doubt it if you see this, you know, between like a 10-12 point game, and it just looks kind of rough at first.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I will say this about the defense.
Me too.
You know, before last year, Ohio State's defense nationally finished, and I don't remember what order it was, but the 4 years prior to last year, they finished 4, 6, 7, and 9 in the country. So top 10, a couple times like high top 10, 4 years in a row, and then last year, 71. So in a 4 year span, they averaged finishing number 6 in the country and then finished 71. If they can even get back remotely close to top 10, I mean, even if they could drop a lot on offense and still be a really good game. I mean, even with the number 71 defense in the country, they finished 13-1 last year and won the Big Ten, won a bowl game.
I know.
I mean, 13-1, Andy, with the 71 defense in the country. And they're before that, we're averaging number 6 in the country. So I think the defense, the silver bullet's going to be back. Maybe they're not, you know, number 6 in the country, but I think they're probably going to be a top 20. Just based on talent alone, and let's face it, like the schedule's not a murderer's row. It's not a terrible schedule, but it's not a murderer's. Like there's nothing challenging out of conference for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you open the season with Florida Atlantic, a team that went 5-7 last year. A lot of question marks themselves coming into this season, as we said just a couple minutes ago. You got Miami of Ohio. You have Cincinnati coming in, which is going to be interesting, but we'll get to the Bearcats come next week. But you're right. You know, I think that the schedule plays favorably in Ohio State, being able to be successful this year. But as you know, we talked about that in the last podcast. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But is there a position specifically on the offensive side of the ball that you're excited about? And
oh yeah,
for what reason?
Oh yeah,
what reason?
You're gonna force me to pick one here.
Just one that up front right now. You're like, I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys play the most of any position on the offense, aside from Justin Fields at quarterback. We already know right. that, right?
Well, I have some worry about Justin Fields, but the easy answer, the most exciting, would be the wide receivers. So I'm not going to pick that because they look amazing.
Yep.
I'm going to say the offensive line because everybody's been saying this offensive line is really good and really deep. And let's face it, if the offensive line is dominating, we don't need Justin Fields to win a lot of games for us. We need him to just not lose them. You know, he can be like more of a manager, you know, the Trent Dilfer type, winning the Super Bowl with the Ravens, just managing the game with the kind of, you know, a guy who's probably going to be, you know, the first guy since Archie Griffin to rush for 1,000 yards 3 years in a row at Ohio State to hand the ball off to. This wide receiver's all around him. If that offensive line comes out and dominates, I mean, Justin Fields, like I said, he's not going to have to do it a whole lot. He's hand it off to JK, do some of those bubble screens, you know, occasionally throw one downfield to keep the defense honest. We don't need him to come out and be Dwayne Haskins for this offense to be good if the offensive line is shoving people around. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, and Ryan Day did say that he wants to run the offense this year much like they ran it last year. You know, where it's more of a, you know, kind of read and throw style instead of a read option. He doesn't want Justin Fields out there running the ball too much like they did with JT. And the wide receiver core is unbelievable. I mean, you lose 3 5th-year senior co-captains, and all you have is 4 more seniors now stepping in Ben Victor, Austin Mack, KJ Hill, and one of the co-captains this year, CJ Saunders, former walk-on, now a stinking captain in his final season as a Buckeye. I think that's awesome. That is so cool to see.
Yeah. Well,
but he earned it, though. He earned it.
Well, that is a really great story. But I will also say that insiders are saying right now the best wide receiver on the team is Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
You get all these seniors back that are all going to be, like, even without Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver core would be pretty good. And it's like, this guy looks like he's the best one of all of them already. So it's that's going to be an exciting group to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be nuts, but I am looking at the running backs, JK, who's going to really be, you know, the one or two guys to spell him. Odds are it's Master Teague and DeMario McCall, but does Marcus Crowley somehow find his way onto the field? And to your point about freshmen being allowed to redshirt after really any class, it doesn't matter, but being allowed to redshirt if they play in the first 4 games, yeah, we could see a good bit of a Marcus Crowley out there. What about a guy like Jalen Gill, you know, redshirt freshman who's over at kind of like, you know, playing like a KJ Hill receiver kind of in the slot there and catching screens and whatnot.
He looks like a Curtis Samuel to me.
Yes, very. I mean, he's small. He's like 6 foot, like 195 pounds. So he's not a real big kid, but he's shifty,
dynamic,
fast. Yeah, he's lightning in a bottle.
More. Yeah, he's not KJ. He's not Paris Campbell.
No,
but he looks. He reminds me. His game reminds me of Curtis Samuel. So if he can be a Curtis Samuel, and he's your third H-back, that's pretty good. You know.
So is there anything, I mean, honestly, there's nothing about Florida Atlantic that scares you coming up? I mean, I just think Ohio State's just going to look a little rough offensively first. I just think they're going to struggle a little bit at first to find a real true offensive identity in the first few games. I think it's going to look a little meh.
I mean, you could be right. I mean, you've got a guy who's first ever year starting. So it's only his second year in college football, first year with Ohio State. So it's going to take a while for him to get used to running this offense, right? So that I don't expect the offense to be now versus Florida Atlantic what it's going to be like versus Michigan. But I think just Florida Atlantic's just overwhelmed, and they're not going to have any problems with them. You know, it's just like Ohio State's working through kinks. Florida Atlantic's working through kinks, too. It's the first game of the season for them, too. It's not like they've had 5 games to get ready for Ohio State. So the talent difference is just going to overwhelm them. So, I mean, my big concern in this game is that they just come out without a bunch of injuries. You know, you don't want to see like three starters go down for the year. That's the big thing you want to avoid in a game like this, is just try to keep healthy. And, you know, what's essentially a scrimmage, you know, because I guess if they lost this game or looked bad in this game, it could knock them out of the playoffs, but it has no impact on their Big Ten standing. So it's more or less a scrimmage. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I mean, one thing we didn't talk about, you talked about what positions you're excited about on the offense. So the defense, I mean, I think the defense is going to wreck the other team so bad that it's going to put Ohio State's offense in a good position. So I think you're going to see they've been getting a lot more turnovers. That's been one thing that's been emphasized more by this defensive staff than the previous one. You know, we talked about that last podcast where they're getting more interceptions. They're emphasizing stripping the ball more. And the defensive line is just crazy good. I mean, I think they're just going to – it's just opposing offensive lines, especially a team like a Florida Atlantic, is just going to be like a sieve back there. And that's going to end up causing the other team to, you know, give Ohio State the ball in good field position over and over and over again. I just think you're going to see a lot of that. You know, when you get up, you know, you get in third down, you get sacked on a third down, or those sort of things just put you in really bad field position, even if you come in and punt, you know, let alone the turnover. So yeah, I think the offense is going to be fine. I think if Justin Fields comes out and looks a little rough, they're just going to do plays that set him up, like run a lot of JK, do some little bubble screens, you know, that kind of thing that will help him to get comfortable, some little slants, some little high percentage plays that low risk, you know, that don't ask a lot of him and can help him to settle in a little bit. You know, they're not going to ask him to throw ropes 20 yards downfield into coverage 20 times a game, you know, at least not to start. I don't think so anyway.
I think, yeah, absolutely. They're going to come out. They're going to look very vanilla to get Fields acclimated and confidence build up. Hey, I think short passes are the key. You hand off to your bell cow back and Mr. Dobbins. Hopefully, you know, he can get spelled to save his, you know, energy and just so he's not getting beat up as bad. And the wide receivers, whew, boy, yeah, that they are obviously going to have to help Justin Fields out, and let's hope that they've been doing so throughout summer camp. Tight ends too, boy. I mean, you know, Ohio State, God, they're loaded at tight end. Yeah. I mean, you've got Barry back, you've got Farrell, and then you got that stud. He's now a sophomore, in Jeremy Ruckert. Who everybody's been drooling over. I mean, they were talking about, you know, the size of this kid and being a Jimmy Graham style tight end, where he's just, you know, long but he's built and he's fast. He runs good routes, great hands, you know, the whole nine. So the tight ends and receivers are definitely going to have to help Justin Fields out and warming up. And obviously the offensive line, you know, we had mentioned the offensive line earlier. I believe it was in the previous podcast, or maybe it was earlier in this podcast. I'm starting to confuse myself. But we talked about the offensive line, the fact that they're replacing 4 out of 5 guys, but the fact that this is looking like one of the best offensive lines that they've had in a while. So those guys, you know, Josh Myers, Wyatt Davis, obviously Thayer Munford. You've still got, you know, it sounds like Brandon Bowen and Nicholas Petit Frere, the redshirt freshman, are battling it out there for the right tackle spot. So it's going to look interesting. But if the offensive line can mesh well together, give Justin Fields good protection, and they can open up some holes for J.K. Dobbins and to start the game, kind of just come out, be vanilla, be watered down, but dominate that line of scrimmage and protect Fields well on some short, easy passes and let J.K. rumble, it might get ugly. It might turn into an ugly football game, but I think it does come down to everybody kind of helping out Justin Fields get his feet wet and get acclimated.
Yeah, I just wish that I could be at the Ohio State practices color commentating, as you've got defensive end Javonte Jean-Baptiste up against Nicolas Petit-Frerre. That's got to be a fun one to commentate on.
That would be. Well, and how about that? They move Jean-Baptiste, who came in as a linebacker, and they're sitting him down at defensive end. I'm almost like, and I get it. I mean, he's a tall kid. They packed on a little bit of weight. I think he's put on like 20 pounds. But, I mean, he's 6'5", 245. They're probably going to try and put a little bit more weight onto him.
Just athletic. And he looked like a playmaker in the spring. They couldn't block him in the spring.
Yeah, that was an interesting move. But you're almost thinking like, God, you guys are so stacked on the defensive line as it is, and you need help at linebacker. But, you know, you have to put the guys in position, obviously, what you think they're going to work best at. And God, man, this defensive line, Chris, they are going to anchor this football team. They are so loaded, so deep, and they've got the best damn defensive line coach, the only defensive coach that Ryan Day kept from last year's staff. He's still with them, of course, Larry Johnson. And let me tell you what, man, this defensive line, I mean, they've looked beastly, obviously, the last several years. I think that if they're going to play this new style of just, you know, turn them loose football, this could get ugly for some quarterbacks this year with Ohio State's defensive line coming in on.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be a freaking wrecking ball coming through these teams. So that's what they talked about. One guy we haven't mentioned yet, he's like Samoan, I think. So apparently, like, Larry Johnson just said, like, he just wrecks the offensive line. He's in there. He is, like, the biggest badass on the team.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, man. You've got all these seniors, and obviously Chase Young is a junior. But you've got these sophomores, this sophomore class with Tommy Togiai and Teron Vincent and Tyler Friday and Tyreek Smith, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I mean, they're just loaded. And then you throw in there the seniors, the B.B. Landers, the Devon Hamiltons. God, I'm drawing a blank, too. You've got what the hell's his name? Oh, Jonathan Cooper at defensive end. I mean,
you saw he was injured, right?
It's just nuts. No, what happened?
Yeah, he's got, I think they're saying high ankle sprain, but they're saying he's out for several games.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, if it's like there's one position you can lose a guy, it's defensive end. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to use Chase Young, but outside of Chase Young, it's like, okay, Cooper goes down. You got Baptiste steps up in there. You know, you've got Tyler Friday. People have been saying great things about Tariq Smith.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I'm seeing this now that he, lower leg ailment is the report.
Yeah.
His lower leg is ailing him. So
yeah, there's not a lot of injury news that comes out of this staff, which, you know, is what we were accustomed to with Urban either, which I kind of get it. Why would you even bother giving that information out? But as fans, it is kind of cool to know, but, you know, it doesn't really do them any favors to tell people.
Oh, you know, Urban was always, you know, pretty tight-lipped. I mean, unless asked, you know, oh, he's, you know, got a, you know, a bee sting, and, you know, he's day-to-day. We'll see what happens, you know. Unless it's a Nick Bosa and he tears his, you know, lower core on national TV at that point, you can't hide that injury. So, all right, so give it to me then, Florida Atlantic. This coming Saturday, Chris, final score. I say 24-10. I'm going to go 24-10. Go low. What do you think?
Oh, they're going to crack 50 at least. Let's see.
Fired up.
I will go 52-17. Whew. They're going to smoke them.
Man. Okay. All right, you got way more faith in the offense than I do. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. Oh, we'll find out this coming Saturday. So with having said that, sir, anything else you can think of that maybe we forgot to talk about here about this Florida Atlantic game coming up, or any other kind of dish you wanted to talk about before we turn off the microphones?
Let's turn them off.
And that's all you had to say. Sayonara, folks. We are out of here. Thank you for downloading this edition of the Buckeye Leafcast, which is brought to you by Christie's Cleaning Services, LLC. If it's not clean, it's Christie Clean. And Columbus Wired, your premier source for sports in and around the Central Ohio area, as well as Choice Conversations, which is hosted by none other than my man and yours, the intergalactic Buckeye fan himself, Mr. Chris Stefanik. Chris, tell the fine folks where they can find you on Choice Conversations.
Yeah, so choiceconversations.com, or just, you know, whatever app you use to find to podcasts, look for Choice Conversations. I should be right there.
Rock and roll. Check them out, folks. It is a very choice conversation type of podcast. It's awesome, folks. If you haven't given it a listen, I implore you to do so. So, Chris, having said that, let's leave like we always do. Go Bucks!
I want to go back to Ohio State, to old Columbus Town, to the stadium to hear the band, by far the finest in the land. I want to go back to Ohio State, to old